Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Dr. Steve Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The basis for today's meditation is recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. That day would overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. This is the word of the Lord. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Well, the world can be a dark and sad place. The fallenness of humanity is astonishing. This is demonstrated in new and horrible ways people treat each other. And it can be very discouraging. Even in the church, the saints can stumble. Hence the wonderful gift of forgiveness of sins and absolution. The fact that there is sadness, trauma, disappointments, and drama in the world does not surprise Christ or his church. At the same time, we rightfully and eagerly await his soon return. We have now entered the bell lap of the church year. Advent will soon be here. So Paul, in this text, addresses Christian conduct in the midst of the great second coming. As the apostle walks through verses 1 through 11, he reminds the Thessalonians and us to live as if the great day of Christ's return is imminent. Paul goes on to dialogue about behaviors and attitudes. He says, be sober, be on your guard, have your, what we call in the army, your full battle rattle on, be on your guard. In the case of the breastplate and helmet, be ready. We're to have an attitude as redeemed people, free from the bondage of sin, open and receptive to Christ's return, a people justified and forgiven. Then comes this wonderful concluding passage, the basis for a homily this morning, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The other day, I had the privilege of playing with my granddaughters. They are as cute as can be. Fast moving streaks of blonde, moving at the speed of light, full of energy. They shriek for joy. They love to move, and I mean they move quickly. It's great to be loved by something so full of dynamism as these grandkids. On the other hand, I still find it strange to hear the name I have, which is Grandpa. It's even stranger to hear words these spark plugs of kinetic energy call my girlfriend, best friend, and wife. They call her Grandma. So it is. The oldest bundle of energy wants to run a race. It wasn't a long distance. Start at the refrigerator, run as far to the other end of the living room, touch the wall, and come back. At first, it was always a close call. The granddaughter would barely win. Then this high energy of future Olympian, as I like to call her, wanted to make it interesting. She found a big medal on thick ribbon and said, Grandpa, we will now race for the medal. And when I win, I will wear it around my neck. Off we went. Yes, she won, as cute as can be, full of energy, screaming with joy. I observed a couple things that day with my granddaughter. First, continue to work out. Walk, jog, run if you're able, lift weights, and stretch often. Second, no matter how hard you train, grandpas will always let granddaughters win. I've only been home a couple of days, and I missed that blonde streak of high energy, gleefully laughing, barely winning against grandpa. But third, and most important, it's about competitiveness. It's not about competitiveness. It's about the honor of being an encourager. In this case, to have my little granddaughter run just a smidge faster. If there is a role we have with our children and grandchildren and within the Christian church, it is to be encouragers. Encouragement. This is where Paul the Apostle shines this morning. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5:10 through 11, he died for us that we, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, there are four encouragements in verses 8 through 11. The first encouragement, stay focused on the mission of Jesus and his church. The second encouragement, remember you are a receiver of salvation. The third encouragement, all things are rooted in Jesus' wonderful act of salvation born on the cross. The fourth encouragement, inspire others in the body of Christ by way of the mission of the church, a receiver of salvation based exclusively through Christ on the cross. So encouragement one, focus on Jesus' mission. In my time in the military, if you didn't get the mission right, nothing you do matters. You're wasting time and energy, resources, and by not doing the commander's mission, you place others in extreme danger. This mission is not your mission. Focus on Jesus' mission of life eternal. Our Lord himself demonstrated mission focus as he kept his eyes on fulfilling the purpose for which his Father sent him. In Matthew 16:21, we read, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Keep your eyes on Jesus as he leads us to those who long for his love. Hence, a writer of Hebrews in the 12th chapter says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The second encouragement, remember that you are a receiver of salvation. Earlier in Thessalonians 5, the non-believers look to the promise of peace and safety. That's kind of a motto of the Roman Empire started under Augustus, only to walk into a buzzsaw of unforeseen destruction. So it is with those who are not part of the body of Christ. In verse 9, we read, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Think of the gifts that you're given. Baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper, which instills in us assurance and true confidence. You take that sureness with you as you encourage one another. The third encouragement, all things are rooted in Jesus' wonderful act of salvation born on the cross. The accomplishment of the cross triumphs all trials, all challenges, all gut-wrenching disappointments, all fears, all worries. Christians respond to this suffering and death in gratitude and joy. In Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Resurrection follows the cross. Death surrenders to life. Satan is crushed forever. The fourth encouragement is to inspire others in the body of Christ by which the mission of the church and through that mission of the church. Remember, you're a receiver of salvation, It's exclusively through Christ on the cross. If you do not know how to do that, consider Colossians chapter 3, where it reads this way. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Being an encourager can be as simple as the song of King David in Psalm 122 when he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. To walk with someone into the sanctuary of God. To encourage each other to worship. Not give up, even though discouraged. Walther, in his classic work, The Proper Distinction of Law and Gospel, said this about the end times and the coming of Christ. He says, oh, my dear friends, unless you keep the light of the pure gospel shining in this land of the setting sun, which has been visited last by God, it is not possible that the day of judgment be delayed. Our time is down to the dregs of the cup. The end is at hand. The church is a stewardship of the treasures of Christ until he returns. And this is a command of the Lord Jesus that we gather together in praise and worship of him. So it is our calling as baptized children of God, loved, redeemed, and forgiven, to run the race. A race different than from the refrigerator to a living room wall, but a race where we are participants and encouragers. Focus on the mission of Jesus and his church, receivers of salvation, deep-rooted in Jesus' wonderful act of salvation born on the cross, as we are called to inspire others in the body of Christ. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Sean Found, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.